This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Let me welcome you all to this evening to our celebration of the Epiphany of our Lord. For those watching at home or in Divine Service 1 out of the Lutheran Service Book, hymns number 533, 395, 624, and 397. Well, Father, our service you received on the way in beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, Father, the sharing of peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sin. Let us then confess our sins to God the Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and renew us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us rise and face the center of the sharing of peace. The lectern is on. The peace of the Lord be with you always. The pulpit is on. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Bring offering upon me. Thanks be to God. We rise to the singing of the Alleluia verse. For so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message.
Christmas time that we just finished, and in a way, Christmas time is a little bit left over. So, while we don't have little ones with us today, every day, and as it would say, peace to this house and all who dwell. So this is a symbol that's written above, using chalk above your door frames or inside. It's a symbol that says, may Christ come live with us in our home every day, and may it bless those who come and go as those who live here. So my wish for you is to celebrate this Epiphany time with the message of what that does bring to us. And so with that, we thank you, dear Jesus, for the gift that you brought in our in the gift of you. And the story of the gifts that are way better than just the things we have here on earth, but that no matter where you are and where we are, you will always guide us and take care of us through all the things we need. May we welcome you to our homes every day. Bless our homes as we now begin a new year in you. In your name we pray. Amen.
We continue with the sermon hymnal, Morning Star, How Fair and Bright, on page 10 and 11.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar. This Christmas carol was written by Episcopalian musician John Hopkins Jr. in 1857 in Pennsylvania. For almost 100 years, this was thought to be the only American contribution to English language Christmas carols. It does have that unique plodding rhythm. It transports you to the top of a camel's hump as it sways back and forth, moving across the desert, following the star to Bethlehem. Now, we don't really think that the Magi were kings, although that idea has been floating around since the 3rd century. In fulfillment of Psalm 72:11, may all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. Around the 8th century, the names were attached to the three. They become known commonly as Balthasar, Melchior, and Gaspar, or Caspar. According to the Western Church tradition, Balthasar is often represented as a king from Arabia, or sometimes Ethiopia. Melchior is a king of Persia, and Gaspar is a king of India. In many nations, January the 6th is celebrated as Three Kings Day. Three Kings is one of those traditions that assume a lot more detail than we actually have in the Bible. The Magi from the East are sort of a mystery. Who are they? Wizards? Astrologers, magicians. What do they really know about the one that they're seeking? How many are there? We don't really know. There are three gifts, but we're not sure how many Magi. We don't really know too much about the Magi, who often are called the three kings. What we do know for sure about this biblical account of the Magi is that there are two kings. We two kings of Israel are enemies in spiritual war. Two kings, both king of the Jews, Herod the Great and Jesus of Nazareth. One looks like a king, one does not. One wears royal robes and a crown, lives in a palace that he built himself in Jerusalem. One is a helpless young child living with his parents at someone else's house in Bethlehem due to a census ordered by Caesar. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is powerful, protected by soldiers and secret police and 2,000 bodyguards. One is a small boy protected by his father, who is guided by angels who appear to him in his dreams. Two kings. Both king of the Jews. One pretends to be a Jew for political purposes. The other is the definitive Jew, all of Israel reduced to one. He fulfills what the children of Israel were unable to fulfill. He comes to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel and then grafts all nations into the root of Israel. Two kings. Both king of the Jews. One is a political appointee who is declared king of the Jews by the Roman Senate in 40 BC. One is a descendant of King David, who is declared heir to the throne by the archangel Gabriel and called king of the Jews by these mysterious magi from the east who followed the star to find the newborn king. He's not again called king of the Jews until questioned by Pontius Pilate, one of Herod the Great's successors. Pilate's soldiers mock Jesus by crowning him with thorns and dressing him in a robe and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate has written on a sign above Jesus' head on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Two kings, both king of the Jews. The Magi bring one word, one king, word of the birth of the other king. Their message brings anxiety and fear to Herod and therefore to all Jerusalem. To the other king, the Magi bring gifts fit for a king: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is paranoid, merciless, and bloodthirsty, willing to kill anyone who threatens his rule. He kills one of his wives and her sons, and anyone he thinks threatens him. He'll kill another of his sons before he dies. The other king is full of grace and mercy. He will heal the sick and raise the dead. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He gives himself into death in order to conquer death for all people. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is an agent of Satan, the other is the Son of God. One seeks to do the devil's work of eliminating the newborn king of the Jews and orders all baby boys 2 years old and younger to be slaughtered in Bethlehem. The other is the Son of God, who will do his Father's will by being obedient to the law. He is baptized into the sin of the world and pays the price of those sins with his own suffering and death on the cross. Then he rises from the dead to crush the head of the devil. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One lives in a magnificent palace that he has built for himself there in Jerusalem. The other comes to that palace 30-some years later to face Roman authority. At that magnificent palace, the other king is beaten and mocked and whipped and sentenced to death in order to please the unruly crowd assembled by the Jewish religious leaders. They want to kill him so he doesn't mess up their relationship with Rome. Two kings, both king of the Jews. The chief priests and the scribes tell Herod that the Christ is to be born in Bethlehem, but they do not go with the Magi to see the Christ. They choose to stay with Herod the Great rather than meet the other king. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One, at great expense, rebuilds the temple in Jerusalem to be more glorious than ever, so his name will be remembered in history. One of the support walls of that temple still survives in place today, is known as the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem down below the Temple Mount. The other king later visits the temple. He clears it of those selling animals and changing money. He teaches in the temple. And upon his death, he tears the curtain in the temple in two from top to bottom. Separation between God and man is undone in Jesus. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One lies dead in his grave, buried at his Herodium fortress, 7.5 miles south of Jerusalem. The other's grave in Jerusalem is empty. Two kings, both king of the Jews. Who is the true king of the Jews? It is the unexpected one, the baby in Bethlehem who has to flee to Egypt. That is the true king. Two kings, both king of the Jews. One is temporary. He's a blip on the radar of history. The other is the eternal king of the Jews. Jesus is your king, who at your baptism adopted you as a child of God, an adopted son of Abraham. You have been grafted into the tree of Israel, and Jesus is your king. Jesus reigns. He rules not with force, not with 2,000 bodyguards, not by killing his opponents. Jesus rules in grace and mercy. Jesus rules in sacrificial service to his people. Jesus rules by paying the price for the sins of the world on the cross and conquering death by rising from the dead. Jesus rules by giving you forgiveness in his word to you. Jesus rules by giving you his own body and blood in Holy Communion. We learn from the Magi that things are not always as they appear. Water, word, bread, and wine. What we see with our eyes does not always show the whole truth. We two kings of Israel are enemies in spiritual war. Jesus wins the war. Jesus is the eternal King of the Jews. Herod the Great turns out not to be so great. He has been dead a very long time. And he's remembered not so much for his magnificent buildings, but the innocent blood on his hands from those Bethlehem boys. Jesus of Nazareth, the true and eternal King of the Jews, lives victoriously and is worshipped for having shed his blood to save you. Jesus is King. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers remember Dick Tendon suffered from medical issues. Carolyn Ott, whose white blood count is now back to normal and will resume chemotherapy. For Deanna Hughes, whose Selmeyer's daughter recovered from heart surgery and facing dental surgery. For Terry Sparks, a friend of Mike Dokes, who's undergoing chemotherapy. For Norm Dingelnine, recovering from bypass surgery. And for Denny Ray, who's having continuing respiratory issues with COVID. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who in faith, piety, and love come to receive his gifts and praise his name, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Matthew, our Synod President, Kevin, our District President, Alan, our Circuit Visitor, all pastors and congregations in our parish, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all families and homes that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Donald, our president, Michael, our governor, all our leaders, our legislature and Congress, those elected. selected and prepared to begin service to our nation and our military. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all women with a child and all mothers with infant children, that they would have joyful fruition and success. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and sorrowful, for those who mourn and all who stand in need of our prayers, especially Dick, Carolyn, Deanna, Terry, Norm, and Denny, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune this day, that they would receive our Lord's body and blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of sins, and in the unity of a true confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, here we remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and